Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this edition of In Depth with Stephen Strang. I try to probe and get to the bottom of the story, to pull out answers that will give my readers and my listeners insight into people who are significant. I ask them about how they got saved, how they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how they met their spouses. I try to dig down and get them to talk about things that are important, their successes, their failures, because even though these people are well known, even though they have their own media platforms, they don't often have an opportunity to talk about this side of their life. So I'm inviting you to tune in, to download, to listen, and to share In Depth with Stephen Strang. Remember that movie called Ghostbusters? Well, have you ever heard of a Demon Buster? Well, today I'm going to talk to a Demon Buster. Her name is Kim Daniels. She has an incredible testimony. Hello, everyone, and welcome to In Depth with Stephen Strang. I'm Stephen Strang, and Kim Daniels has been my friend for a long time, and as we'll talk about in the next half hour, our lives have overlapped many times. But when I first met her, I heard about her ministry. It was called Demon Busters, and that's because she's the devil's worst nightmare. So let me welcome Kim Daniels to my podcast. Thank you for taking time to talk to me.
Hey, Steve, how are you doing? It's a blessing to do this podcast with you.
Well, I remember when you and some of the people in your ministry drove down from Jacksonville, Florida, where you're headquartered, to Orlando, which is, what, maybe a couple-hour drive, and I remember you ministering to the staff, and I remembered hearing about how your ministry was growing and how you were beginning to speak on all kinds of stages like Peter Wagner and so forth. And, you know, we have a lot of ministries come through here, and we're always trying to cover what God is doing. And, of course, we were interested in covering a ministry that kind of your claim to fame was Demon Busters. But a lot of people, you know, you write about them and you don't become friends. But, you know, we become friends with you and your family. You've been in our home. We've been in your home. Our lives have intertwined. We have watched you evolve over the years. So why don't you tell me, before we get into a little bit about your life, why did you call your ministry Demon Busters?
Well, actually, people started calling my ministry Demon Busters. We were hitting the streets, and, you know, we started doing deliverance, me and some of the young ladies in the community, and they started joking and calling us Demon Busters. And we kind of took that on, and then after the Lord told me to get that Winnebago and put Demon Busters on it, and we was traveling around the country, the phrase just became very popular, and we kind of coined it through the things that we were doing, and especially through the article that you did years ago through Charisma called They Call Her Demon Buster.
And so that was one of your first national articles, but, you know, as we got to know you, we have also published several books, including your testimony. I know a lot about you, and of course, I will try to draw your testimony out, but why don't you just tell my listeners and tell me kind of your background, because you had a very rough background. You weren't always in the ministry.
No, I wasn't always in the ministry, and, you know, I grew up, you know, in a rough part of town called Uptown in Jacksonville, Florida, but after moving to Sherwood and going through the different neighborhoods where it was noted for having a lot of crime and a lot of criminal activity, that's kind of where I grew up. And after going through that, going into the military and accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, it just totally transformed my life. I remember getting saved and being on a track team with the world-class sprinters from the Army, with the fastest athletes in the world. And I was a unholy terror, I would say, you know, with the athletes and cursing and fighting and just keeping all kind of ruckus up. And after my life was transformed by the power of Jesus Christ, when I came back and kind of told everybody that, you know, I was saved now and I was a believer and that God had changed me, people began to watch me really closely because they said, we got to see this to believe this. And as they watched, they saw the fruit of Jesus Christ and people began to get saved.
Well, that is exciting. Some of the things that you went through, you know, you've talked about it publicly, and I want to talk about how you got into the ministry, how your ministry grew, even maybe about some of your books, and then how you've ended up in politics. But in politics, And the reason I mention it is some of your opponents have actually dredged some of this stuff up to say, oh, she's not a nice person. She used to be, you know, this or that. But that was all stuff before you got saved. What is it that they were criticizing you about?
Well, what happened is I had a vision, a dream, actually. I had just gotten back from Hong Kong, and this was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't see God, but I heard his voice. It was all dark, and there was a lady that I was helping. You met Glorious. We were raising money for her to run for mayor, and I heard a voice say that Glorious will get off the ballot, you get on. I mean, this blew my mind. Politics never crossed my mind. Being an elected official never crossed. Getting on a ballot was the furthest thing from me. And I did that. I think I called you. I called some more people to kind of tell them about this dream. And then the real thing of the dream is that a phone call woke me up at 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the morning with Gloria saying, I'm getting off the ballot. And I just hung the phone up because that's just what God had said to me. It wasn't ifs, ands, and buts about it. It was just a matter if I would obey God. So I didn't know anything about the seat I was running for. I didn't know anything about politics. And so I took my regular bio that said I was an ex-prostitute and drug, and I used it as my campaign bio. I didn't have a campaign manager. And so when I put on there that I was running and it said ex-prostitute, ex-drug, I mean, the media went crazy. The news channels were doing polls. Would you vote for an ex-prostitute? 70-some percent said yes. I had name recognition from being a speaker and in the church, but I became that girl who used to do this, and now she wants to be in the politics. And it turned out helping me out, and I won with 93,000 votes in 2 months after people were in that race for 2 years.
Well, I remember that. In fact, I remember driving up to Jacksonville. You had, I'm going to call it maybe a fundraiser, or maybe it was just a meet and greet at your home, and Glorious Johnson was there. You told me she was a strong Christian. I was happy to support her. I remember it was a very pleasant time. I enjoyed meeting people in Jacksonville. I actually knew a couple of the people who were there that day. And then I was stunned. I remember the phone call. It was maybe on a Sunday, and you told me about this dream. I had no idea what it would evolve into, but I know you well enough to know that you hear from God. So you ran for office. Joy and I supported you the best that we could. When you were sworn in to the city council in Jacksonville, a lot of people don't know that Jacksonville is the largest city in the state of Florida. And land area-wise, it's the largest city in the world because it includes all of Duval County, which is a pretty good-sized county. And it's got a city council that, am I right in remembering that there were 19 seats on the city council?
There are 19 members. And you know what? I was one of the 5 at-large members. I am currently the only African-American female on the Democratic ticket to hold a citywide seat. So really, I didn't just win a race. I made history. And to this day, there hasn't been another black female to hold on the Democratic ticket to hold at-large or a citywide seat.
Well, I remember driving up for your, I'm going to call it installation. It was a big thing at City Hall, or maybe it was the city auditorium. It was very interesting to me. And I just wanted to kind of show my support. And you served on that. And then there were a lot of twists and turns in which you ended up in the state legislature. So tell us about that.
Well, first of all, you and Joy have been there with me, supporting me. And I'm just so honored to have been one of your authors for all these years for over 22 books. And you supported me spiritually. And you also came and stood with me financially when I got on the ballot. But I snuck in under the radar, but after they knew who I was, those from the gay community and those who felt like, you know, I didn't represent their beliefs and their views, and those who really didn't like, you know, a bold Christian being in that seat, they were preparing for 4 years to put me out of that seat. And I'm going to say it just like this, God allowed them to. I lost that race. I had to run against the whole Republican Party. I lost that race only for a few months later to become a member of the House of Representatives. So when I lost, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm so used to winning, I was looking at the screen like, I lost? God, I thought you told me to do this. And that's one thing we have to learn as believers. You know, sometimes God takes you the long way around. I don't believe that the city council was my destination. I'm not even sure if being a member of the House of Representatives is my destination and where God is taking me next. But I do know he has a plan that's bigger than my thoughts and my ways, And after losing that race, I heard the Lord clearly say, this is me. Move forward. So I didn't have any heartache about it. You know, ministry is my first passion, traveling and preaching the gospel, and that's what I began to do until a few months later, this seat was open, and I won the seat to the House of Representatives, and I am one of 120 members of the House of Representatives. I represent District 14 out of Jacksonville, Florida, and I am finishing my second term.
And one of the other members is my good friend Scott Plakin, who is down here in Central Florida where I live, and he's a Republican. And you're a Democrat. Most people would know that the majority of African Americans are Democrat. But, you know, this is not about political parties. There are Christians in both political parties, of course. But it's rather unusual to have you been able to work with Scott and some of the other more conservative politicians up there in Tallahassee who stand strong for traditional values and what we call Judeo-Christian values. Tell us a little bit about that and some of the things that you've been able to do in Tallahassee, some of which we've covered on Charisma News because we try to keep up with what you're doing, especially putting the state motto in the schools and some of the other things that people outside the state of Florida might not know about.
Well, I got to the legislature the year after they just passed the Pastors Protection Act, which was a big deal for the faith-based conservative community. The Pastors Protection Act had protect pastors from having to participate in same-sex marriages and things that were against their views and their values. And that was big. But my first year coming in, I don't know how to be a state representative. You know, you have to be trained. You have to learn. I mean, it's such a huge responsibility. You have to learn how to move on the floor, how to do bills, how to get sponsors. It's so much. And the first thing I remember, I was sleeping, and here we go again. The Lord says, I want you to do a bill to put prayer back in school. And I could remember in my sleep thinking, oh, God, let me get in and at least learn how to file a bill first. And so that one night, the next night, a prophetess, a senior woman, called me in the middle of the night, 3 a.m. She said, you're getting ready to come under fire, and the Lord is pushing you out into the deep. And I knew that I had to do that, and my staff was standing around. We do bills through this program called Legis. And I'm telling you, I had got a little break. I'd been through some rough, rough campaigns. When they said everything negative that they could say about me, none of it was true. But I was finally getting a break and a breather, and then the Lord wanted to throw me back into the fire again in the middle of July. And I remember pushing that button so that the public could see that I was filing the bill. And I'm telling you, and the news spread. You know, you got a black Democrat that's pushing a bill to put, it was the Religious Liberty Act. And this bill not only supported religious liberty for children, but for teachers. And so before school, after school, during lunch, now a lot of people don't know about it, and I think it's very important for us to say over this podcast that as believers, you can wear your crosses around your neck. You can wear T-shirts that display your faith. And before this, there was one little girl who was stopped from saying her prayers. She was stopped from saying her blessing over her food. And so, you know, all of that is history now because we're celebrating the second year anniversary. Today is July the 1st. I don't think it's by chance. Today is July the 1st. The law was passed July 1st 2 years ago to put prayer back in school for teachers and students to pray together. Last year on July 1st, In God We Trust has to be conspicuously posted in every school in the state of Florida. And we're celebrating the first anniversary for that. Last year, we did a bill for Bible literacy to be taught in schools, to be a part of the curriculum. It didn't get agendaed and passed as we wanted it to, but that's okay. You know, everything don't happen overnight. I am fully confident that we're going to get that bill passed this year, and, you know, it's all in God's hand. I think God has done so. For 3 years, we had so much victory. The Pastors Protection Act, the Religious Liberty, and then we had In God We Trust, and I fully expect to get the law passed so that we'll have Bible literacy back in our schools.
Well, I just so appreciate all that you're doing up there in Tallahassee. Of course, I've lived in Florida most of my life, and a lot of people don't know, although I referred to it earlier, that our state motto is In God We Trust here in Florida. And so it's interesting that the state legislature would pass that motto and it wasn't even really allowed in schools, but now it is thanks to what you've done. I know that CBN and the 700 Club has really kind of taken an interest in that, and I guess people that are interested in finding out more about Kim Daniels could actually probably go online, and there'd be a lot of stuff on YouTube and on the 700 Club site where you've been on different programs and so forth. And I even saw a video, maybe you can tell us about it. It was on the floor of the House. You were kind of preaching to them. It was, and you were surrounded by all these state legislators. I only knew who a few of them were, but it was mostly the Republicans. The Democrats had kind of shunned you. Can you kind of explain what I was seeing that day? And maybe people can even look it up online.
Well, you know, first of all, I want to say if people want to get in contact with me, the best way to keep up with me is on Facebook. I mean, I am just really going forth on Facebook. It's State Representative Kimberly Daniels. Now, that's not a state Facebook. That's just the name of my Facebook. It's not a government site. But you can follow me, like me, please, on State Representative Kimberly Daniels. But Steve, let me tell you, I had another vision the night before that. I called the Speaker of the House, and I called the leader of the Democratic Party. And that was right after we had the incident with the young people getting killed in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in the school shooting. That was right after that. And the Lord clearly spoke to me in a vision and said, tell them not to politicize the death of these children. And in the vision, I saw a Democrat. I didn't see me, a black Democrat standing there with a bunch of white Republicans behind whoever that black Democrat, it was a man in the dream. And I was standing on the floor describing my vision. I said, I had a vision. And I didn't know that these Republicans came and stood behind me. That was the word of God manifesting right there. I was telling them the vision that I saw of a Democrat standing, Republican standing behind him, supporting him. And right there as I was speaking it, and I'm telling you, the devil worshipers, the atheists, every antichrist group that there was, they attacked me. But you know, Steve, whenever the devil worshipers, the atheists, and them folks attack you, you need to begin to rejoice because Jesus is coming back soon, and they don't like the fact that I'm black and that I stand for Christ despite political affiliation differences. You know, there are a lot of believers that are in the Democratic Party, but sometimes party politics will get in the way, and people are afraid to express their faith because it's not the status quo, and I'm just one of those. And there was another lady who's a member of the Democratic Party, and we were standing and debating a very hot issue. I can't remember what it was, but I remember that female Democrat coming on my side. That was the best feeling I can ever have because, you know, that one person out of everybody, although my bill passed, but that one woman came up to me afterwards and she said, I love Jesus. She said, I disagree with you with a lot of things, but I had to stand with the Lord. And that encouraged me, and I'll never forget that time, that even as one of the issues is about choice schools and step-up schools for church schools, that's a heated issue that Democrats stand against. I strongly support choice schools. I strongly support parents making a choice of where their children go to schools because this affects our churches and it's a big base for the Christian community. And I had to stand for that bill by myself last year. There were six of us this year. So the good news is that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us from them all, and we are growing every day, growing in numbers, growing in power. And I always say this, no longer will we be the silent majority. There are more for us than there could ever be against us. And that loud minority has been taking the front lines and the forefronts that we're going to take back.
Amen. And I just hope that encourages people because sometimes when you watch the media, which is just so left-wing and seemingly anti-Christ many times, certainly downplays the importance of Christian. In fact, if you watch the media in this country, you wouldn't even know hardly that the church exists, because it's just not played up at all. And the fact that the Lord has raised you up and a lot of other people too, I think is an encouragement. And I want to find out about what you are actually doing today. We're recording this on July 1st, as you mentioned. It's interesting that we're doing it on the anniversary of these several bills. A lot of our bills in Florida take effect on July 1st. Of course, the podcast will run a little later and then it'll be online for a long, long time. And people probably months and months from now will be listening to us talk today. But I just think that it was interesting that we're recording this actually on July 1st. And I'm interested in this trip that you're taking down to Miami. But first of all, say something to those who may feel that they would like to make a difference in the public arena, maybe even in politics. I realize that yours was almost supernatural in the sense of the dream and so forth. And everybody doesn't have those kind of supernatural encounters. But how would you encourage people to believe God that they can make a difference?
Well, I want to start with the meeting in Miami. I'm here with Representative James Bush, who is a preacher. So I'm not the only preacher in the Democratic Party right now. And Representative James Bush, he's an African-American preacher. And he and I were standing with the Christian Family Coalition. And it was amazing to see the people who came to hear about politics. I literally preached to them today. They were motivated. They were inspired. And they just weren't used to seeing people in this level of politics that would stand for Christ. And I just want to encourage our listening audience that wherever you go, take the Holy Ghost with you. I don't go to the floor and leave the Holy Ghost in my prayer closet. I take him with me. We're living in the last days. Those who are anti-Christ and against God, they are very bold and radical about what they believe. And I believe that God is raising up bold, radical voices in the earth realm. And if you are one of those, I pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare over your life that every hindrance, every bondage, anything that will try to stop you from fulfilling the high calling, don't stop at the calling. Press toward the mark of the high calling. I decree and declare that the work that the Lord has begun in you, it will come to fruition. And I touch and agree as the gifts of God are stirred up on the inside of you like fire that the prophet Jeremiah talked about, shut up on the inside of your bones, that you will not rest until you do the will of the Lord and answer the calling. And I say unto you that you don't have a choice. This is a time, this is a season that the Issachar anointing is coming upon you, that you will know the times, you will know the seasons, and you will know your place in what God is doing today. And I pray that in the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Well, thank you for that. That's so encouraging. And we've kind of covered one thing and then another. It hasn't been chronological at all, but tell us about your church, the name of your church up there in Jacksonville, Florida, and explain your role with the apostolic, because I first knew you as Apostle Kim Daniels, and you still go by that title in many ways. I know that you are affiliated with Apostle John Eckhart up in Chicago, who has actually become one of our very, very best authors, just huge, huge numbers of books sold. He just really, really relates to people. And as far as I was concerned, we got to know John Eckhart because of you. So just tell us a little bit about that aspect.
Well, first of all, my church is at 1445 Steele Street on the corner of Steele and Blue in Jacksonville, Florida, on the north side of town. Spoken Word Ministries, they call it the home of the demon busters. People travel from around the world to come there for deliverance. My pastor, my covering, is Apostle John Eckhart. He is the best-selling author of the book Prayers That Rout Demons. I have a book that's about the same color. I specifically asked for that color because his book has sold over a million copies. My book is Prayers That Bring Change. And we both are proud to be authors with charisma and with strength. It has been an honor. Apostle Eckhart has been to so many countries I can't count. And following in his footsteps, I've been to so many countries. I'm about to travel to Peru, to Argentina, Brazil, and France, and Colombia. Yeah, I'm going on a tour. And these countries, I'm so excited. I started in October going to these different countries. And I'm excited. The meeting we went to with an interpreter down in Miami, there's a revival going on in the Spanish-speaking community. I'm familiar with TBN in Lace and all the other entities and outreaches that are available because of the Spanish-speaking community. I just believe that God is doing something great in the earth realm, and I'm so excited to be a part of it.
Well, that is exciting, and I can't help but ask you about your two sons. I know you're so proud of them, and I've watched them grow up, of course, since they were little guys. They would have been maybe, what, 3 or 4 years old when we first got to know you, and now they're in college. Tell us about your sons and what they're doing.
Well, currently, my sons, I have twins, Elijah and Elisha Daniels. Of course, you know we named them after the prophets. They are prophetic, but they're football players, and they played for the University of Maryland. They had, oh my God, we couldn't count the number of scholarship offers, but they're currently pro prospects, like their brother, Michael Jennings, who has a Super Bowl ring. He played with the championship team for the New York Giants. And so I have these athletic babies that have grown up to be men who are still living for God. And I'll say this, we had a revival in Tallahassee, and I was so proud when the twins brought their friends from the college and FAMU, and they were crying and falling out under the power and receiving prophecies. And it's a blessing to see young people sensitive to God like that with the careers that they have and with what they're doing in football and being on the front lines of football. I'm glad to see them still serving Jesus, because the Bible says if we raise them up in the way that they should go, they will not depart.
Amen. And of course, you're talking about football. It makes me think of one of the most incredible stories. I know so many stories about you, and I didn't really come prepared to ask you about this, but there was the most famous catch in NFL Super Bowl history happened, and you gave a prophetic word about that ahead of time. In fact, I can remember talking to you on the telephone maybe the same day or maybe the day before. Tell my listeners that story about what the Lord said to you and about that incredible catch that won the Super Bowl that year.
Well, it's funny, I was just talking about this, but David Tyree was my spiritual son. My son Michael was on the team, and I prophesied to him the night before the game that I saw spiritual glue on his hands, and that his feet looked like hind feet, looked like animal's feet, and that he was going to make this play. And he made this play that has been noted as one of the greatest plays in football history. And I was just glad to be a part of that, too, to see the prophetic word of God come into fruition.
And we wrote a story about it in Charisma, which put us in touch with Hubie Sin, who's another prophet, and that has led to all kinds of blessings. You know, it's just interesting how one thing leads to another, to leads another, and isn't it exciting about how the Lord makes all this happen? And I just want to thank you for your friendship and the friendship of your family and the books that you've written for us. They've been such a blessing, and you've prayed for us, and you've stood with us when we were going through stuff, and I just so thank you for that, Kimberly Daniels. And God bless you with your ministry, with your apostolic ministry, with the ministry in a way that you now have in Tallahassee as a state representative. We're so proud of you and so thankful that the Lord has raised you up. I'll give you the last word.
And thank you, Stephen. You told me to say about the apostolic. The apostolic is a pioneering spirit that when people do things that have not been done before. Apostles go into regions and break paradigms and break status quo stuff going on. So, you know, guess what? There's some folk that may not believe in women apostles, but you know what? I can show you better than I can tell you. I do what the apostles did, and that's what the apostolic anointing is all about.
Well, thank you, and thank you for taking time to talk to me today. Thank you to my listeners for listening to this episode of In Depth with Stephen Strang. I was so appreciative to be able to go in depth a little bit with Kimberly Daniels of Jacksonville, Florida. There was so much more than we could do, but I hope that you enjoyed this as much as I enjoyed talking over some of these things. God bless you. This is Stephen Strang. I want to introduce my listeners to Charisma Magazine if you don't already get it. Or if you do get it, you could respond to this special offer and we will continue your subscription into the future. The offer is to give you both of my books on Donald Trump, God and Donald Trump, and the new one, Trump Aftershock. These are a value of just less than $50, plus 2 years of Charisma, which costs around $40, and you can get the whole thing for only $39. Now let me repeat, you get both of my best-selling books and 2 years of Charisma for only $39, and all you have to do is go to this site, trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I hope you'll take advantage of this offer. Even if you have read the books, you know, it's always nice to have a new book, especially one signed by the author. It makes a good birthday present. Later in the year, it'll make a good Christmas present. And I hope that you'll take advantage of it because it's a good offer and it's my way to try to connect you with charisma and also get more copies of my book out there. I'll repeat it, but the good thing about a podcast is you can back it up and listen to it again. It's trumpbooks.charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.